Up next, for decades, one of the routine treatments for women with breast cancers has been not only to remove breast tissue, but to cut out a large number of cancerous lymph nodes around the armpit also. But a new study out this week in the Journal of the American Medical Association suggests that that sort of extensive surgery may actually offer no benefit for some women with early-stage breast cancer. For women in the study with and without the operation but undergoing chemo and radiation, survival rates were very high, both of them, around 90% over 5 years. In this case, at least for about 20% of breast cancer patients, it appears less is more, and they can do without the painful surgery, an example of overtreatment. But overtreatment isn't just a problem for patients diagnosed with cancer. It could sometimes be a problem for healthy people, too, as my next guest writes in his book, Overdiagnosed, Making People Sick in the Pursuit of Health, because even healthy people are subject to more and more tests every time they visit the doctor. Think about it. What do? You get the normal tests. You get your cholesterol level, maybe your liver tests if you're doing statins, you have a PSA, you have a body scan, tests that are often, they often result in treatment. And because the traditional dogma is, as my next guest writes, more early diagnosis means better medical care, which means more treatment, and more treatment means better health. But is that traditional view true? Is it accurate? Should we still be thinking about it that way? Are all these tests and treatments actually improving our health, or are we looking too hard for disease? Dr. H. Gilbert Welch is the author of Overdiagnosed, Making People Sick in the Pursuit of Health. He's professor of medicine at Dartmouth Medical School in Hanover, New Hampshire. He joins us from Vermont Public Radio. Welcome to Science Friday, Dr. Welch.
It's great to be with you, Ira.
Why? Is it because doctors can do all these diagnoses, all these tests, that they do them?
Well, certainly part of it is what's possible, and what's possible has, of course, changed dramatically over the last year. But it's also part of our ethos, if you will, that it's always a good thing to look for early forms of disease. And, of course, that message has been sent out to the public through the media and other sources that, of course, the thing you want to do is look for early forms of disease. But the truth is there are really two sides to the story. I think patients are used to thinking of treatments as having side effects, but so does testing. And the side effect of looking for early forms of disease is that we find virtually all of us have some. That's because we all harbor some abnormalities. And we never know which patients are those that have abnormalities that are going to cause problems in the future. So we tend to treat everybody we find with an abnormality, and that means we're treating some patients who can't benefit from our treatment because they were never going to develop the problem at hand.
But they're overdiagnosed. How do you say to the person, you know, that maybe in the minority, as you say, that you may have saved that person's life by overdiagnosing them? Is that worth the maybe 1 in 100 cases?
Well, I think that's the question we all need to face. And, you know, sort of traditionally, doctors have focused on the 1 out of 1,000 we might help by looking for early forms of disease. But we haven't really asked the question, what happens to the other 999? And this problem was really demonstrated to us in prostate cancer screening, which is really a poster child for the problem of overdiagnosis. 20 years ago, a simple blood test was introduced, and 20 years later, over 1 million Americans had been treated for a cancer that was never going to bother them. That test was the PSA, or prostate-specific antigen, and it turned out an awful lot of men had abnormal PSAs. Many were found to have microscopic cancers, far more than would ever suffer from prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. Now, you might say, does it matter? Yeah, sure it matters, because most of these men were treated with either radical surgery or radiation, and roughly a third suffered side effects of treatment, generally related to bowel, bladder, or sexual function. Even a few have died from it. So this is a problem. It's a matter of finding the balance between the question of just how hard we should be looking for problems in well patients.
This is Science Friday from NPR. I'm Ira Flatow with H. Gilbert Welch. We're talking about overdiagnosis. He's the author of Overdiagnosed, Making People Sick in the Pursuit of Health. And, you know, you picked up on an interesting line there, because prostate cancer is one of those things where people are now saying, you know, every man is probably going to have prostate cancer if he lives long enough sometime in his life, and maybe we should just do watchful waiting instead of doing all that treatment for some people.
Well, I think that the question here is, before we get to the question of watchful waiting, at which point the patient's already been told they have prostate cancer, I think we need to move back a step and recognize that the really important question is how hard to be looking and what different patients want. And I'm not arguing people shouldn't have PSA tests. I'm arguing they should know both sides of the story. And I think different people in the exact same circumstance can make different decisions about it.
And so you have opted out of the PSA test?
I certainly have. Just first, there's a little bit of confusion about whether the test actually does do what it says it's supposed to do, which is to lower prostate cancer mortality. I believe it does. But I think you have to screen about 1,000 men for a 10-year period annually for one to avoid a prostate cancer death. Now, that might seem like, sure, let's do it if there was no downside to the process. But there is a downside to the process. Somewhere between 100 to 200 will have to be biopsied over that period. And more concerning, somewhere between 30 and 50 will have to be treated for a cancer that was never going to bother them. Now, that treatment, as I said before, you know, has some real side effects. About a third of men will have some sexual bowel or bladder dysfunction. Now, for me, as I look at those numbers, I say, boy, that's not a very good deal. I'll stay away from it. I'll accept the fact that maybe I'm the one in 1,000 that will be helped, but I don't want to make that mistake somewhat more common a side effect of being treated unnecessarily. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't really matter what I think. It matters what patients think. And different patients may feel differently about it. And if they want to have prostate cancer screening, I'd say go ahead. I just think people should know both sides of the story.
All right. We're going to come back and talk more with Gilbert Welch, author of Overdiagnosed, Making People Sick in the Pursuit of Health, on number 1-800-99-8255. What do you think? Do you think you're getting too many tests at the doctor's office? Are you willing to forego some tests and maybe take your chances, thinking that, you know, it's not quite necessary? Give us a call, 1-800-989-8255. You can tweet us at SciFry. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. We're talking about over-treatment this hour, and just to let you know that we are keeping our eyes on the wires and what's going on in the other parts of the world and keeping you up to date, especially about what's going on in the streets of Cairo, where there has been lots of jubilation following President Hosni Mubarak stepping down from his post today and ceding all power to the military. Vice President and Intelligence Chief Omar Suleiman announced during evening prayers that Mr. Mubarak had passed all authority to a council of military leaders. And President Barack Obama said just a few moments ago that the world has, quote, witnessed a true moment of history. And you can stay with NPR News throughout the day. We'll bring you up to date as things happen. Right now, we're talking about overdiagnosis with my guest, Gilbert Welch. He is author of Overdiagnosed, Making People Sick in the Pursuit of Health. Our number 1-800-989-8255. When I go to my doctor, he takes, you know, vials of blood and he runs dozens of tests through them. Am I being foolish having all these tests done?
Well, it's certainly a relevant question. We've gotten much more sort of infatuated with sort of routine screening tests. And some of those tests are reasonable to consider. But one of the things you should know is that we've been consistently changing the rules about what constitutes abnormal. I'm talking now about conditions that are defined by numbers, things like high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, and osteoporosis. All those diseases are defined by a number. If you're on the wrong side of that number, you have the condition. If you don't, yeah. On the right side of the number, you don't. But the numbers we've used to define those diseases have changed over the last 20 years, and in each case, they've changed in the same direction, to label more Americans as abnormal. And that's happened for a number of reasons. One is sort of true belief that it's always good to identify more people at risk, sort of language that people would use. But there's also a lot of money behind it, because it is the quickest way to expand a market for a drug is to expand the number of patients who are supposed to take the drug. And so there have been a lot of problems with conflicts of interest and physicians on these consensus panels that define these diseases. And that's just another dimension to the problem of overdiagnosis. This is labeling more people as abnormal, as needing treatment. And as you move into people who have milder and milder forms of the condition, fewer and fewer of them will actually go on to develop the feared consequence of the disease. Mm-hmm. But they still suffer the harms of treatment. So this is the kind of balance we have to think about more in this country, particularly since, you know, every day we get new tests. You know, you hear about a cancer test that can find a single –
Ask your doctor about this drug or this new test. Let's go to Dave in New York, New York. Hi, Dave.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I just am curious as a patient whether or not the physicians are guided by liability to categorize as much as they can about a particular patient. And then as a patient who carries insurance, am I at risk of being dropped because now all of a sudden, even though I'm asymptomatic, I've now been tagged with a potential problem?
Are doctors over-testing because of liability? Are they afraid that if they don't, there's some liability there?
Well, David actually brings up two issues. Let's first deal with the malpractice issue, which all my colleagues would want me to mention, which is part of the problem. It's not all of the problem. We feel, as physicians, that we're punished for underdiagnosis, but there's no corresponding penalty for overdiagnosis. So that's totally asymmetric set of incentives, and of course that pushes us to overdiagnose. But he also brings up another problem, which may hopefully will be fixed with healthcare reform, although I think it remains to be seen. And that is there are downsides to having diagnoses, and one of the most immediate one for patients is, in the past at least, and probably still currently, it does threaten your insurance. It may make it a lot more expensive to get insurance, or you may not be able to get it at all. But there are other downsides for diagnosis. You know, just being given a diagnosis tends to can affect people's self-perception of their own health. The truth is, you know, health is more than simply a physical state of being. It's more than simply the absence of all abnormality. It's also a state of mind, and it's hard to feel too well when doctors are constantly looking for things to be wrong. But the biggest problem with overdiagnosis is that it triggers overtreatment, and all of our treatments have harms. They range from the headaches of renewing prescriptions, scheduling appointments, subsequent testing, to the physical harms of the side effects of drugs, complications from surgery, and even death.
Thanks for calling. And sometimes, is it not the case that these treatments, you talk about overtreatment as being the real danger here, the doctors make money on those treatments. They might be happy to have that diagnosis because they've got a treatment they can give you that will make them money.
Yes, it's true that doctors make money on it. Probably even more important, institutions make money on it. And now I'm thinking both about pharmaceutical companies and device manufacturers, and I'm also thinking about hospitals who have learned that disease screenings, free disease screenings, are a great way to recruit new patients. And that raises some huge ethical issues, whether this is the right thing for a healthcare system to do is to be going out to look to identify new patients who will then be paying patients.
Let's go to David in San Antonio. Hi, David.
Hi. As a prostate cancer survivor, I must say I generally agree with what you're saying about overdiagnosis, but the PSA in general just raised my ire and desire to call because I feel like I'm 4 years out from having prostate cancer and having the organ removed by robotic-assisted surgery, and I am totally happy that I did it. And if I had not been having the regular PSA test, which my physician recommended since age 45, established a baseline for what my normal was and saw an upgoing trend. Mine had reached, it was 1.1, 1.2, 1.3, then the other year it was 2.3 and then 3.9. He said, well, you know, it's trending up. We better have you sent for a biopsy. I went in and saw the urologist, and he did the famous DRE and felt nothing and said, well, we better schedule a biopsy anyway just to to be sure because my finger isn't 100% accurate. And, well, a couple weeks later, I had the biopsy. He says, well, make sure my people call you back. I don't see anything abnormal in the ultrasound that guides the probe, nor in what we see so far. Well, bottom line, following Friday, the doctor called me. Well, the doctor calls you, it's not to give you good news. And basically, he said, your Gleason score 3+3 bilateral. And you could do radiation or remove it, and I had it removed, and I'm very happy that I did. So my bottom line is I think the PSA is a very useful tool. It does not diagnose cancer, but in the long term, it watch your trend, and it'll tell you something's going wrong in your personal case.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for that testimonial, Gilbert. Dr. Welch, any... How do you react to that?
Sure. I hope David was helped by the test, and I'm glad he's doing well. That's great, and that's important. The truth is most men found to have prostate cancer following a PSA are not helped by the test. Probably 1 out of 1,000 that have been screened for 10 years will be helped by the test. We believe that to be the case. But about somewhere between 30 and 60 are treated unnecessarily. I hope he's not in that group, but the chances are he is. And that's the problem with the with early detection of particularly prostate cancer, but also thyroid and breast cancer. As we look for early forms of cancer, we recognize that virtually all of us harbor some early cancers. Mm. And we don't know which ones are ultimately going to matter, so we end up treating all of them. And that's the problem with looking for early forms of cancer.
So what do you do? What kind of advice do you give to people who are going to their doctors for their checkups, their annuals, their physicals? Do you say to your doctor, I don't need this test. Don't give me that test. I've done my homework. I shouldn't be having this. Are you telling your doctor what to do?
Well, I think the first thing people need to do is develop a little bit of healthy skepticism about the value of early diagnosis. I think as a profession and the public health community, we've sort of systematically exaggerated the benefits of it, and we've either downplayed or totally ignored the harms. And it's time to be a little bit more open about both sides of the story. And the story is a complex one. It's a little counterintuitive, and that's why my colleagues and I wrote the book, is so we could put it in one place across a series of diseases the problem of overdiagnosis. And then I think patients have to do a little bit of sort of self-assessment. Where do they sit on the spectrum between wanting to pursue disease? Is that the way they want to go through life, looking for things to be wrong? Always hoping that there'll be a chance that they'll be able to avoid some future outcome. And they accept the fact that they may be medicalized unnecessarily along the way. Or whether you want to go to the other extreme, which I call to pursue health, which is to live well while you're feeling well. Certainly see a doctor when you don't feel well. But recognize that you may miss some potential benefit of avoiding a rare cause of death, but you also avoid being medicalized prematurely. Now, I've drawn those as pretty discrete extremes, but I think this is a question we all have to address, particularly as there are more and more tests and more ways we can look for things to be wrong within ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying the treatment may be worse than not doing anything at all.
I want to go back a step. It's before the treatment. It's the test. Because once you're tested, once you're told you're abnormal, I think you've already suffered some of the downsides of testing. So, again, I want to be clear to your audience. I'm a conventionally trained physician. I teach. I do research. I see patients. And I believe American medicine can do really good things for sick patients. The question is how much to be involved with it when you are well.
1-800-989-8255. What don't we know about diagnosis that is heading in the right direction or new techniques? Are there new techniques that you think are welcome, that you're happy to see being developed? Diagnostic techniques, or we have enough already?
Oh, no, I think we're making a lot of advances. And, you know, so take CT scanning, for example. I mean, this is a way that, you know, it's been around 20 or 30 years in MRIs. It's a way we can now see the inside of the body in exquisite detail. It's been a great advance for us to evaluate people who are acutely ill and try to decide whether they have appendicitis or whether they're bleeding in their head or so. There have been wonderful advances. The problem is when you deploy them on a normal population, the well population, you also find a lot of abnormalities. Almost all of us harbor meniscal tears in our knee, whether or not we have knee pain. We have discs popping out of our back, even whether or not we have back pain. So the problem is they identify so many abnormalities in normal people, you don't know what to do. But all the pressures on us are to go ahead and to treat those people.
I got you. Dr. Welch, thank you for taking time to be with us today, and good luck to you.
Well, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Dr. H. Gilbert Welch, author of Overdiagnosed, Making People Sick in the Pursuit of Health. He's also a professor of medicine at Dartmouth Medical School in Hanover, New Hampshire.